to world peace and development. Over the years of its own development, China has propelled the development of countries in the region, brought more benefits to people around the world, and continuously injected vigorous impetus into the SCO development. China proposed initiatives such as the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, and a community with a shared future for mankind have been included in the outcome documents of the SCO mechanism. Its proposals, such as the Global Development Initiative and the Global Security Initiative, have also been highly praised by leaders of various parties within the SCO. At the summit, China called for continued efforts to achieve the complementarity of the BRI with national development strategies and regional cooperation initiatives. This call has received active response from relevant parties who agreed that the BRI is an important engine for building a community with a shared future for mankind. Building on past achievements, countries should continue to act in the Shanghai spirit, work for the steady development of the SCO, and jointly build the region into a peaceful, stable, prosperous, and beautiful home.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Ayatollah Javadi Amali. Please stay tuned.
ای کسی الله را بشناسه رسول الله را بشناسه ای کسی رسول الله را بشناسه
If someone knows Allah in a true way, he or she will be able to know his messenger. And if he knows his messenger, he is able to know his imam. This is a causal proof or argumentation in theology. True recognition of Allah and his prophet and the imam is nicely depicted in the supplication of enlightenment, which is taught by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam to one of his companions called Az-Zurara. If this dua is recited with knowledge, then a Muslim will not go astray on his path of religion.
Allahumma arrifni nafsaka.
As we read in this supplication, O Allah, make me recognize you. We must know Allah based on our knowledge. Knowing messengership is impossible without knowing Allah. And knowing imamat and the event of Al-Qadir is impossible without knowing the Prophet of Allah. All these will lead us to know the main proof of Allah on earth, who is the Imam of the age, Imam al-Mahdi. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Ayatollah Javadi Amali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en/islam/page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's brand new episode of Youth Station, brought to you by IRB English Radio. I am Zainab in the studio at the honor of being joined by my brother and co-host.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
And our special new guest, Sister Bita Salam.
I really appreciate it that I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
As your guest.
Thank you so very much for being with us. Do you guys consider yourself as religious people?
It's a really complicated question, as you know.
So?
And it's so controversial because what do you mean by being a religious person?
Do you mean that I have a good relation
with God or something like that?
Following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's very hard to say like how I am a religious person.
But religiosity, I think, is actually no. Yeah, I actually agree with you now, Bita. Now that I think about it, it is complicated.
Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put out the guidelines.
Yeah.
He sent 140,000 prophets, for God's sakes.
For God's sake.
Yeah, come on.
And then 12 imams
afterwards.
Yeah,
12 imams. And then, you know, some of them were killed.
And he was like, people, get the point already.
Yeah. So to be this religious person, devoted person, the reality, the core of it, the jewel of it, is to be God-wary, taqwa.
Mm.
And anything that comes from taqwa is that devotion, is that religion.
Religion.
Are you truly following the guidelines of your religion? Like, for example, your religion, you 100% know it says that you're hijab.
whenever, for example, one buddy tells that, okay, I'm afraid of God, so I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and so on. But it doesn't mean that actually you feel that fear inside of yourself. You feel that faith. You know, it's something about spirituality and something like that.
Thing.
And you cannot just tell that, okay.
Religiosity is so different than spirituality. Yeah.
Like you said, that spirituality, that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it might be not available to some people who are considering themselves doing what is the religious guidelines. Yeah. All right, no problem. But at the end of the day,
a lot of them do it out of habit, don't they? Or culture.
Yes, no, I agree with that. Yes, yeah. Not a problem. But at the end of the day, the person who truly fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does do what the guidelines are. So if you truly have that fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do it. If they know what it is, of course, that comes the concept of mustad'af, which is pretty much the meaning
deprived.
Of those. Deprived. The weak of the weak in knowledge of the religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, for example, prayers. Right? Prayers. Listening to the haram music.
Haram music.
Right? If the person listens to it, he cannot claim or she cannot claim that they are Godward.
Wait.
With that knowledge of knowing that it's
something?
Against...
Wait.
It's against... With that knowledge, it's against the religious guidelines.
Bro,
you want to
I
say
feel
in this
Allah, like, okay, so we're like practicing Muslims, we're hijabis, we pray, we fast, we pay our khums and zakat, yeah. But God knows we could be doing some other stuff. You know, I could be like a real jerk toward my spouse.
Anyway.
We have two different aspects. You know, one of the thing that is, you are doing something, but you don't think that thing.
Yes.
You know, and this is what I mean. You are praying, you are making hijab, you are a really good person as you think. But deep in your heart, you're something else. What do you say about it? How can I just judge these people?
Yeah, there are a lot of
judging people is a different thing. Okay. I have to separate between judging people and one truly being a religious person. Right? Even one claiming that he's a religious person is something that's kind of out of doubt. You know, like, how are you going to claim that you're a religious person?
I love it when people say, I try to be religious.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who judge other people, you know, they don't know their background. They don't know their context. That is true. Like, for example, you don't know that this person has no knowledge or does not have the
or
correct capability.
Or has been abused often, you know, abused by some sort of religious figure.
Yeah, they have this kind of, you know, as we say in Arabic, عقد نفسي. They have this, you know, mental issue.
Trauma.
That is trauma that they're going through. But really, that doesn't take the fact of who is a religious person.
Mm.
Let's just keep it as a concept, as a genre, as an idea. Who is a religious person? The person who is God-wary and follows the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You can see it in their actions.
Yes, you see it in their actions. At the end of the day, who's gonna judge us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. Although He has judged us to some extent in this world, by saying that I want my servants to be this way, in this manner, in this way, to do this action, to stay away from this action. This comes to the concept of submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of Islam is not peace, as some might claim. Rather, submission, min al-istislam, from istislam. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept what He ordered from you. Whether you feel you're being oppressed, you're not being oppressed. Or you feel that you're getting tired, you're not getting tired, you're just lacking. Or you feel like this is something that I don't want to do. I don't care if you don't want to do it, Allah wants it.
You see, the thing is, people always refer to the ayah that says, La ikraha fi din, there's no compulsion in religion.
There's a problem with the translation.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a problem with the interpretation.
Because, you know,
as well.
This really witty scholar once said that, yeah, there's no compulsion in religion, right? No one's going to put a gun to your head and tell you to convert to Islam. And those who do it, it's like the most anti-Islamic thing they can do. But once you become a Muslim, you don't get to choose and pick what you practice and what you don't.
Exactly.
You guys are listening to Youth Station here on IRB English Radio. We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
How do we consider ourselves religious? Yeah. And what is a religious person?
I think that's important.
And do we have the right to judge people?
You know, we are different people with different mindsets, different Obviously. Beliefs. And, you know, you are telling me that, okay, there are some guidelines that God tell you to do them, you know. And there are some certain things that you cannot change.
Mm.
And this is the fact that I'm talking about. You cannot change something, but you can express it as you want. You know, there are many people around the world with different thinking. When you think something is true, you're going to do it. You're going to express it as something that God tells you to do it. You know, and even we have many people who just try to express things as they want, even change Islam as they want, you know, in some of the facts, in some of the aspects of our religion, even. I'm telling you that I defined a religious person as a person who do the thing that has a strong belief in it. You know, this thing will help you. This thing is a God line, and I will do that with a faith deep in my heart. And this is the thing I want to find in people, you know, a beautiful shiny diamond that will die when you grow up, because there are some limitation, because there are some mindsets, because there are some fighting that no, you shouldn't do that, no, you shouldn't tell this, because this is against what we believe is true, what most of the people believe is true. But what does it mean, most of the people? You know?
Yeah, it's the culture thing again. It goes back to the culture thing. A lot of people practice whatever it is that they think they're practicing because they were raised this way.
One other thing that, you know, right now comes to my mind is that the cultural context, context makes you do something that, you know, you don't believe in it. Even sometimes you do the guidelines and something that God tell you by habit.
The thing is that I think what you're trying to say is people who practice whatever it is they're practicing without
thinking,
without intellectual processing put into it. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says don't inherit your religion. I'm not talking about the fiqhi aspect that you're...
What is the saying available?
Don't inherit your religion in the sense don't follow it blindly.
Are people the same?
Of course not.
Ah, thank you very much. People differ in the power of intellect. How can you make an analogy or compare yourself to someone who doesn't have that mental capacity?
I ain't comparing no one to no one.
Exactly.
That's the thing, that you're saying that this culture thing, that they're acting upon the religion because it's a habit.
No, I'm not even saying it's a bad thing.
How about the saying? Where are we forgetting the saying that states, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ? These sayings that are talk about the intention of the believers, the intention of the people who act.
For sure.
Right? It states that every action, what's the difference between hitting, for example, two people come and hit one child. This child was an orphan.
Yeah, I
knew. One with the intention of raising him, teaching him.
Okay, training him.
The other was to what?
Abuse him.
To abuse him. The first one's intention was better than the second one.
Obviously. It comes from a
It's the same action. It's the same action, but with different intentions. The intentions are key. Why did this person go and pray? You tell me it's a habit. They got used to it. All right, but why did he stand up and go and wash his face so that the people could say that he's praying? All right, that's bad.
Hypocrisy, riya,
that's bad. But if the person's saying that, all right, true, it's my culture, true, it's my habit, but this is the way that I get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's man enough to say that this person is not religious?
For sure, religious.
So that's the thing. When you have this intention, you have this, and where does this intention come from? I said it. It comes from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I'm not at all saying that it's good or bad. I'm saying that this could be another definition of religiosity.
Yeah, exactly.
Where people be like, oh yeah, but you ain't religious. You're just doing it out of habit. And I'm like, no, a lot of religiosity comes in a lot of shapes and sizes and colors and genders and age groups.
You know, Right? Their conversation just reminded me of a story that was about, I think, Musa, peace be upon him, I think, the prophet. It was about, I think an old man who was praying that, you know, he was telling that, oh, my beautiful God, I'm brushing your hair, brushing your teeth, you know, I will sacrifice my, I don't know, ship for you and other thing like that. And the prophet was like that, oh, my God, what are you telling?
Are you a blasphemy.
Heathen? Yeah. What are this thing that you are telling to your God? And something like that. And you know, the God just told that prophet, that I'm not sure about his name, that, okay, it's okay. He has his own way to pray me. You know, you cannot do anything about it. And it is not a bad thing, actually. Mm. And about the thing that you were telling, that habit is not something bad. You know, I'm not telling you that doing something by habit is something bad. No, at all.
A good habit is actually, still good.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, sometimes you do something day by day. You know, every day you do the same thing, but you don't think about it because you're used to it.
What do you mean by
but then,
you
and then
about
like
it?
There's a hadith again. We're out of time, though. I'm going to just say this hadith and I'm going to close the show. But we're legit out of time, you guys. We can continue this discussion.
Okay.
There's a hadith where one of the Masumin alayhis salam say that 2 units of prayer by a scholar is better than 70 units of prayer by a non-intellectual. I'm not saying non-intellectual, like intellectually impaired, because they've got Down syndrome or they're retarded or something.
No,
like people that don't gain
search,
knowledge.
Don't
exactly.
Gain knowledge.
And that means something. And it also means that we're out of time.
Allah does not force you, meaning that you have the choice
free
to
will,
choose to,
volition.
Yeah, free will to choose this religion and that religion. But the consequences are on
it's
you.
It's still there, bro.
Yes. And we cannot tell people that you're going to hell. We don't know
how Allah
is going to judge them. We're not the rulers of the day of judgment.
No.
We read it every day, at least 5 times a day. Allah is the ruler of the day of judgment.
Yeah.
I hope you guys keep a comment, nice comment about me and criticize my sister. Thank you all very much.
Until another greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I have what I have. My love is strong because of you. In weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
The limelight.
The Biden administration's wait-and-see stance on Israeli regime's escalated attacks against several prominent Palestinian organizations puts their staff at risk of arbitrary detention and torture. Those groups and observers warn. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Maureen Claire Murphy, writer. This article is published under the heading U.S. gives green light to Israeli regime's attacks on human rights groups. Stay tuned for more. The Biden administration's wait-and-see stance on the Zionist regime's escalated attacks against several prominent Palestinian organizations puts their staff at risk of arbitrary detention and torture, those groups and observers warn. The Zionist regime raided 7 organizations in Ramallah area of occupied West Bank last week, shortly after an Israeli regime military commander rejected an appeal lodged by some of the organizations challenging an order designating them as terrorist groups late last year. Tel Aviv claims that the organizations are front groups for the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a leftist political party with an armed resistance wing that is outlawed by the fake regime of Israel, the United States regime, and the EU. All 7 organizations, including Al-Damir Al-Haq, the Bisson Center for Research and Development, Defense for Children International Palestine, the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees, the Union of Agricultural Work Committees, and the Union of Health Work Committees, were sealed, shot, and issued orders declaring their groups unlawful. The Zionist regime troops confiscated equipment and, in the case of some of the groups, files from the raided and sealed offices. Defense for Children International Palestine and the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees say the Israeli regime troops seized files containing sensitive information regarding child clients and women receiving psychological support. The targeted groups have been working in Palestine for decades and receive international funding to support their work. That work includes providing legal representation to Palestinians held without charge or trial by the Zionist regime, international human rights advocacy, providing jobs and social services to Palestinian women and farmers, providing health care to rural communities, promoting women's and workers' rights, and representing children who are tried in the Zionist regime military courts. Put more simply, the organizations are either dedicated to challenging Israeli regime impunity or strengthening Palestinian steadfastness and resiliency under the extreme pressures of perpetual military dictatorship. Because they are a point of friction for the occupation, they have been subjected to harassment and smear campaigns by the Zionist regime and its proxies for years, including raids and the arrest and detention of their staff, in a bid to hamper their work and dry up their international funding. Khaled Qusmar, the Director of Defense for Children International Palestine, said during a webinar hosted by Democracy for the Arab World Now, a U.S.-based organization founded by the murdered writer Jamal Khashoggi recently, "In the past, they used to work in order to silence us, and now they're working in order to eliminate us, eliminate our work, and even the organization." Qusmar was summoned by the Shin Bet, the Zionist regime's secret police, for an interview recently following the raids. The officer made clear that he knew detailed information about Qusmar's family members in order to intimidate him. "They haven't faced ever any real accountability," Shaban Jabarin, the director of Al-Haq, said of the Zionist regime during the same webinar. "They failed in the last 15 years to silence us, to push us back, to get us down and dry our resources," he said, leaving the Zionist regime with the final tactic to declare them as terrorist organization. "They are not ready to accept this. They challenge them to prove what they say." Like Qusmar, someone claiming to be an agent with the Shin Bet, the Zionist regime's secret police called Jabarin recently and summoned him to a nearby military base. Jabarin, who said that phone call was of a threatening nature, refused to comply. He added, "If they have a problem with Shawan Jabarin, the only thing I ask for is due process and a fair trial. Let them take me today," he said, pledging to continue his organization's human rights work despite the personal threats. If there is one person who should be behind bars, Jabarin said, it's Mr. Gantz and his commanders, those who are responsible for committing war crimes in the occupied territory, including Gaza, East al-Quds, and the West Bank. Jabarin was referring to Benny Gantz, the Zionist regime's war minister, who issued the terror designations against al-Haq and other groups. Benny Gantz, the Zionist regime's war minister, is a person of interest in the International Criminal Court's investigation into war crimes in the West Bank and Gaza, which was opened last year. The United States and the Israeli regime, as well as many of Tel Aviv's European allies, some of whom fund the organizations targeted by Gantz, opposed the ICC's investigation in Palestine. Three of the targeted groups, including Al-Haq Ad-Damir and Defense for Children International Palestine, have provided evidence for the ICC investigation. During his visit to Al-Quds last month, Joe Biden pledged to shield the Zionist regime from accountability, including at the UN and International Criminal Court. Earlier this week, The Guardian reported that a classified CIA report shows the agency was unable to find any evidence to support the Zionist regime's decision to designate the Palestinian groups as terrorist organizations. A U.S. agency received intelligence from the Israeli regime regarding the designations, but like multiple European countries, did not find any evidence to support the claim, The Guardian reported, citing two sources familiar with the study. Despite not buying the Zionist regime's claims, Washington has so far refused to publicly challenge the Israeli regime over designations and other measures taken against the Palestinian groups. The U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price said this week that we continue to seek additional information from our Israeli partners. He added that we remain concerned about the impacts of the closure of the offices of these Palestinian NGOs in and around Ramallah, and we've made clear to our Israeli and to our Palestinian counterparts that independent civil society organizations in the West Bank must be able to continue their important work, he said. But when asked why the U.S. wouldn't forthrightly condemn the Israeli regime's actions, Price said, the Israelis have told us that they have information in their possession that would justify taking action against the groups. Price was admitting that the United States is giving the Israeli regime indefinite time to retroactively justify the designations, potentially putting the organization's staff and wider networks at risk of arbitrary detention and torture. I found the most troubling element of the U.S. response to what happened last week to be the statement about waiting for more evidence, Laura Friedman of the Foundation for Middle East Peace said during the Dawn webinar, adding, because waiting for more evidence is not a passive statement, it is an active green light and encouragement for Israel to crack down further on these groups in order to try to manufacture more circumstantial evidence. Friedman pointed to the discredited secret dossier on the groups that was given by the Zionist regime to European diplomats in May 2021 and supposedly contained information that justified the terror organizations. Friedman said that dossier consisted virtually entirely of evidence in the form of statements made by Palestinians under interrogation after they had been arrested by Israelis for similar charges. This is coercive interrogation on top of an already coercive military court system that leaves Palestinians with no due process. We'll be right back. In another recent event, Friedman noted that the Zionist regime operates a plea bargain factory in its military courts. Joanna Rishmavi, a Spanish aid worker in her 60s, took a plea deal that saw her sentenced to 13 months in prison for her work with the health work committees, which was declared illegal by the fake regime of Israel in early 2020. The health work committees was not informed of the designation until the Zionist regime began an escalated campaign against it, arresting its director, Sata Odeh, and closing its headquarters in Ramallah, the seat of Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. Friedman told the Dawn webinar, what Rishmavi pled guilty to effectively was unknowingly providing aid to an organization that Israel defines as a terrorist group. The Zionist regime held up Rishmavi's plea agreement made in a highly coercive context in which Rishmavi had no hope of actual justice as proof against the targeted organizations. 24 independent UN experts condemned the Zionist regime's escalating attacks on the Palestinian groups and urged the 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council, which includes the US, to protect the Palestinian organizations and a staff whose offices were raided and closed. The experts also called on the EU and its member states in particular to use their leverage to stop these aggressive attacks. So far, European diplomats have only managed to muster up photo ops and toothless statements of concern, even though the European Union is implicated in the designations. Even Zionist groups such as Americans for Peace Now, J Street, and the New Israel Fund are urging Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, to address Israel's persecution of Palestinian civil society, challenging the complicity of the U.S. regime, which subsidizes the Zionist regime's military occupation and provides Tel Aviv with missiles used to bomb residential towers in Gaza, and shields the Zionist regime from accountability through its veto at the U.N. Security Council, remains key. It would only take one phone call from Secretary Blinken, Al-Haq's Susan Power said, adding, just one phone call.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Principles of Friendship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano, and in today's lesson, we are going to talk about principles of friendship. Friendship, as we know, is a very important part of life of any human being in life, because no matter, every human being lives in this world, definitely grows up with his family, with his father and his mother around, with his sister and his brother around. But you see, with time, he got to connect himself, he got to have connections between him and other people that are not from his family. And those are the friends, those are the people that he needs to connect to. Those are the people that he needs to be with. For example, a friend is anyone that he could meet in a school, you know, in the area where he's studying. He could meet in a shop, he could meet in the places where he's going to play every time. Every time a child goes out, definitely he or she is meeting with other people or other children from the other families. So from there, the friendship grows. So friendship, in this case, is a very important thing in someone's life, because there's no way a someone can live in this world without having a friend in life. He needs a friend. He needs someone he could talk to every time. He needs someone he could play with. He needs someone he can talk with. He needs someone he can share his thoughts with. So with such need, with this much need in our lives, we definitely going to have to look at the principles of such connection, because it's a connection if it doesn't have the right amount of principles, if it's not conducted in the right way, definitely it's going to bring more harm than good. So we need principles to look at. We need guidance. Someone needs to be guided on how to be with his friends or her friends, and how he can, you know, bring out good in that particular relationship. So it's something we need to look at. It's something we need to be careful of.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRIB English Radio. And in today's topic, in today's program, we're talking about the principles of friendship. We've been talking about how important it is for someone to have a friend in life, and that it's a necessity for anyone to have a friend, someone he can talk to, someone he can share his thoughts with, someone they can sit down and talk with each other and share the thoughts and share jokes and everything. So a friend is someone you need in life that you must share with, that's not from your own family, that's not from your blood, that's not from your father or your mother. Because in that case, you'll need to have that particular person you're meeting with in your workplace, in anywhere you're going, in your business area maybe. You will definitely meet people from the other side of the world that you will become friends together. Now, what are the principles that we need to look at during this particular relationship of two people? Now, in general, we will talk about a few principles, but the main thing is for us to check on how we can be successful friends for the friends, for the people that we are friends to. You know, if I am your friend, how can I be a successful one? How can I make myself successful? How can this relationship between me and you be a successful relationship? You know, relations with others is definitely among the most important social art. And most of the people neglect this part of relation. Thus, you know, they fail in gaining friends and their relationship with others. Now, their relationship with others will be turned into problems and conflicts. This is because they lack, you know, the knowledge of seeking friends and how to deal with them and the principles of friendship. So indeed, the psychological studies and the day-to-day experiences, as well as the guidance of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, and his holy progeny, the 12 Imams alayhi wa sallam, decorates us with guidance and ways of seeking friends and how to associate with them. So these are the principles that we are bringing in life in this particular relationship are supposed to be based according to the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad and his holy progeny. We need to look at how they used to deal with their friends. What did they say about friendship? What did they say about about making up a good friendship? And from these particular teachings, we'll come up with the best principles of how we can improve our friendship. Thank you so much for listening. Until next episode, inshallah. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Basing country issues on others is wrong. Pay attention to the domestic capacities. This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the president and members of the cabinet in Imam Khomeini's Husseiniyyah on August 30th, 2022. Another great achievement you've made is that this government has refrained from blaming others and making excuses. And it has accepted responsibility for the actions it has taken. During this time, we haven't heard any government official say they won't let us do anything, we don't have any authority over such and such is out of our hand. We haven't heard these things from you. Accepting responsibility for your actions is truly important. You say, we are here, we need to get the job done, and we will get the job done. This is a very positive, important point. Another important point is that good approaches are being taken in the fields of foreign policy and culture. Now, these approaches, especially in the cultural fields, will take time to be implemented. But there are positive approaches. They need to be followed up. They are another of your accomplishments. The slogans of the revolution have gained emphasis, as have the slogans of Islam. Slogans such as seeking justice, avoiding luxuries, supporting the oppressed, and standing against arrogance. These are the main slogans of the revolution. These matters have been emphasized and been clearer in people's speech, and this is a great thing. Continue with it.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
You try to continue with these accomplishments. I shall talk about these more when I am making my recommendations. In any case, consistent work is needed in all fields. This was about the first part, your achievements. As for my recommendations, I have a few suggestions. My first word of advice, which I have given to most of the governments that have been formed in recent years, is that first of all, you should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing you with the opportunity to serve people.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me. You've
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Rome's suburban Tiburtino Terzo Quarter is once again home to a new edition of the Palestine Festival, a four-day initiative organized by the Palestinian Association of Rome and Lazio Region and the Palestinian Youth Association, created by Palestinian expat Youssef Salman with the aim to foster intercultural understanding and promoting Palestinian culture in the Italian capital. This year's edition of the festival also has a focus on Palestine and Latin America.
Many Latin American countries have been supporting the Palestinian cause. That's what I told to the people who attended the meeting this evening. I also told them about our President Abbas being in New York to discuss a two-state solution. But when will Israel sit at the negotiation table?
A number of Latin American heads of state came out and spoke loudly, proclaiming the rights of the Palestinians and denouncing the Israeli persecution against them at the UN over the past days. At Rome's Palestine Festival, diplomats from the Bolivian, Cuban, and Venezuelan embassies reiterated their support for the cause of Palestinian people in order to restore their legitimate rights. A commemoration of Shirin Abu Akleh was held during a panel on the dreadful living conditions of Palestinian journalists in the occupied territories. Recently, a new forensic analysis proved that the Israeli sniper who killed her could see that Shirin was a journalist before firing the bullet.
In the West Bank, journalists are shot, wounded, or arrested. In the Gaza Strip, there is no internet, no power. We cannot work. Israel simply doesn't want us to do our job. 55 Palestinian journalists have been killed by the Israeli forces in about 20 years. In regards to Shirin, Israeli soldiers knew full well she was a journalist when they killed her. It was a warning sent to all of us journalists in Palestine.
The Palestine Festival will continue on Saturday with an initiative commemorating the Sabra and Shatila massacre and a conference on Italy's and the EU's political stance on the plight of the Palestinians. The festival will end on Sunday. Max Civili, Rome.
It's the third time since Friday that Iranians assemble en masse to call the nation for peace. This gathering is in fact a response to days of nationwide street violence and riots that erupted in Iran following the death of Mahsa Amini, a young Iranian woman who died on September 16th, days after she was taken into a police station. The demonstrators here say while they sympathize with Mahsa's death, they don't want the violent protests to go on.
We are too waiting for the investigation to shed light on Mahsa's death. We are all saddened by her death. But unfortunately, some people are committing vandalism in the name of Mahsa. They're desecrating our sanctities in her name.
It's not about Ms. Amini. Those people who have violated law and order have used Mahsa's death as an excuse to incite unrest in our country. They have destroyed public properties and burned our flag, which represents our identity.
Police have rejected claims that Mahsa Amini was mistreated, saying no physical contact happened between officers and Amini. Now, violent protests and acts of vandalism come while Iranian authorities have given assurances that a thorough investigation is underway into her death. Here, people describe the rioters as foreign-backed elements who are exploiting the death of Mahsa Amini to instigate chaos and wreak havoc across the country.
I believe Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the U.S. are trying to use the issue of Mahsa Amini through their media propaganda to sow divisions among Iranians and deal a blow to the Islamic Republic. But they will never achieve their goals because our nation will stay united.
22-year-old Mahsa was an Iranian Kurd from the city of Saqqez in Kurdistan province. On September 13th, she was on a trip to Tehran with her family when she was taken by police. police have released the CCTV footage showing Mahsa suddenly collapsing on the ground and then later being brought to an ambulance.
People here say they're all grieved for Mahsa's unfortunate fate. And they say the issue should not divide Iranians and harm national security. Yusuf Jalil, Tehran.
Palestinians rallied in Gaza following the Friday prayer to condemn Israeli violations against Al-Aqsa Mosque and Al-Quds. Protesters condemned the Israeli provocative measures, vowing to protect Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa. In recent days, Israeli regime forces have increased their presence near Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, taking advantage of Jewish holidays. Dozens of Jewish settlers were also allowed to storm the Holy Shrine and perform religious rituals. Hamas movement warned the Israeli regime against violations at Al-Aqsa Mosque, emphasizing that any provocative move against the sacred site will only infuriate Palestinians.
The Zionist criminal enemy is playing with fire and gunpowder that will only explode in its face. The enemy must not forget the sword of Al-Quds battle. If the Zionists continue to desecrate Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque, we will wage bigger battles against them.
Palestinian officials accused Arab regimes who normalized ties with Tel Aviv of encouraging Israeli attacks against Al-Quds.
Those Arab and Islamic countries who normalized their ties with the Zionist enemy are encouraging it to violate and desecrate Al-Aqsa Mosque and Al-Quds. Those countries have lost their moral compass and must correct their mistakes before it's too late.
Protesters slammed British Prime Minister Liz Truss for promising Israeli regime Prime Minister Yair Lapid to consider relocating the British embassy to Al-Quds. Palestinians consider Al-Quds as the eternal capital of Palestine.
We came here today to support Al-Aqsa and to say to the whole world that Al-Aqsa Mosque is a red line. We also want to condemn the British Prime Minister's statements about relocating the British embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds.
Palestinians have also condemned the international community's silence on Israeli crimes in Al-Quds.
Analysts say the Israeli regime and its regional and international backers are responsible for the escalation of violence in Al-Quds and Palestine. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
The pressure from the cost of living crisis, driven by soaring energy costs, due in part to the war in Ukraine, is pushing more and more Britons into poverty, among them people with jobs. Across the nation, business after business has also closed up shop. More could follow. The government's answer, unleashing tens of billions of dollars to protect businesses from rising energy costs. But for many, such measures don't go far enough.
People are still suffering quite big energy and inflation, you know, and real wage cuts. But not if you're at the top end. You're actually going to be delighted with your extra 5% tax cut on your £1 million salary. I mean, it is ludicrous.
A global shortage of essentials from fuel to flour have seemingly made everything more expensive. Inflation in the UK stands at just under 10%, the highest in 40 years, and highest across all G7 countries. In response, the Bank of England has raised interest rates, the cost of borrowing, to their highest in more than a decade to try and slow down people's spending and bring down prices.
The government is moving in a different direction, slashing taxes to get people to spend more. Good news for businesses on, for example, high street, but bad news for inflation.
Now, Mr. Speaker, this brings me to the cap on bankers' bonuses.
New Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng has announced cuts to taxes on richest individuals and the biggest companies, along with lifting the cap on bankers' bonuses. He and his prime minister's theory is that if the rich are allowed to get richer, instead of shouldering more of the nation's tax burden, everyone will benefit. And it has a name, trickle-down economics. Very few economists think it's a good idea.
I don't think this is going to be received well by the British public. What we want is an improved health service, dealing with social care, and this is not the time to be cutting tax on the wealthy like this. It is, as I say, astonishingly inept.
In the past 10 years of Conservative government, the UK has experienced stagnated productivity,
investment in wages. Many are questioning whether this government can really turn the tide on years of economic decline. Saeed Puriza, London.
The 8-year anniversary of the September 21st Yemeni revolution was marked in the Yemeni capital with a massive parade. In previous years, people used to flock the streets to celebrate the day all across the country. This year, Yemen's armed forces were the ones to march the streets. A broad range of advanced equipment such as missiles, unmanned aerial vehicles, and air defense systems were also put on display. Many in Yemen believe that the country's military development today is only a result of the revolution. A spokesman for the Yemeni military